Good morning. I'm KASM Radio Farm Director Joel Gill. It's your Saturday morning Central Minnesota Farm Report here on KASM Radio. It's brought to you each week by Mid-Soda Manufacturing in Avon. On Friday morning, I spoke to Joel Bauer at Mid-Soda, and once again, another busy week. And we talked about attachments, and right now a lot of folks are, cleaning out heifer barns or some of those manure piles, and right now is a grand time to do so as we get warmer and warmer, and Mid-Soda has your bucket attachments.
No, exactly right, especially if, you know, you get a year where you jump right into a quick spring, right out of winter, right into a good spring to get out in the field. You want to be ready to go when that field dries off. You can get out there and get those barns clean. So you want to have the equipment there and ready to go, you know, the bucket grapples, the fork grapples, you name it, the buckets, whatever you want to use to get that barn cleaned out, have it in the yard ready to go when the fields are ready.
Has there been much evolution when it comes to these attachments, Joel, or it kind of is what it is? You can only upgrade it so far, or how far have they come along?
Really, the biggest evolution in these attachments has been the size we build. You know, 10 years ago, we built a 60-inch wide, a 72-inch wide, and maybe a 78-inch wide. And it was, you sold most of the 66-inch wide. You sold a few 60-inch and a few 72s maybe. But now it's 84-inch wide grapples. And then we even built a few one-off 96-inch wide grapples. And then I don't know if we sold a 60-inch wide grapple in the last year, just because the equipment is getting so much bigger, so much wider. They need to get a grapple or a bucket out in front of them that at least clears the full path for the machine, and then the tires and the tracks alongside of it, so they get a good clear path when they're going back into the pen. So more so just the attachments are getting bigger and more horsepower, and with that we're having to beef up, use a little more material in certain places as the machines are able to lift so much more.
Joel Bauer and Mid-Soda Manufacturing joining us on Friday morning. They got hours today, 8 till noon, just on the south edge of I-94 in Avon. Mid-Soda Manufacturing. This week also, Commodity Classic, their virtual event wrapping up on Friday. We had Brian Bigler with the Minnesota Corn Growers joining us. They helped sponsor our coverage this week, along with Minnesota Farmers Union. Now, Brian talked about Minnesota Corn and gave us some background on their Innovation Grant Program once again this year.
Minnesota Corn launched this Innovation Grant Program back in 2016. Part of it is the mission to become the most environmentally responsible and sustainable corn farmers in the nation. The program's focus was identifying farmer-led solutions to reduce nitrate loss on the farm. But since then, it has grown to accept ideas from farmers that just increase their overall sustainability. In addition to the farmer-led research side, the Innovation Grant Program also has funds for projects that are led by researchers to produce data focused on nutrient management and also soil health and some water quality. And up to date, the program has invested nearly $850,000 in 78 original projects from across the state.
And Brian talks about this year's folks who received an innovation grant. He said overall the program has expanded a little bit.
This year we kind of opened it up a little bit more. Some of the different ones we've broadened it out to was to improve nitrogen efficiency, compare some different tillage innovations, and then just to address economic and management innovations. And, of course, big in this state is enhancing water quality and just trying to find some different uses for corn. A couple of the projects that did get approved for this year was a soil health demonstration site, and they're looking at tillage and cover crop effects on the soil health. And they're also going to be including an economic evaluation at the end of the year, and they're also going to be having a field day during the year also to show everybody what's happening out there. Another project we have going on is one that shows, looks at better ways to different drainage factors and their impact on nitrogen. This project's supposed to establish two monitoring sites with varying drainage spacing and designs out in it. So just different ways of hopefully get some better ways with the tiling.
Brian Bigler with the Minnesota Corn Growers joining us. Minnesota Corn Growers and Minnesota Farmers Union joining us in bringing us help, sponsoring our coverage of the Virtual Commodity Classic. We spoke to Gary Werdish. Extensive interview earlier during midweek. You can catch that full interview at mychasm.com on the homepage under What's Happening. Some other details here this morning. As we go to Washington, D.C., legislation introduced in the Senate would create more transparency in cattle markets. Fellow farm broadcaster Michael Clements shares how this bill will align with priorities with A groups like the American Farm Bureau Federation.
The Cattle Market Transparency Act would bring much-needed changes to cattle markets, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. AFBF Congressional Relations Director Scott Bennett says events last year highlighted the need for reform.
After an extremely volatile 2020 in the cattle market, producers became exceedingly frustrated. This bill helps ease much of that frustration by creating a contract library for producers to compare the terms of their contracts versus others in the industry. It also mandates that a packer report the number of cattle scheduled to be delivered for slaughter each day for the next 14 days. This is a requirement that already exists in the swine industry and will better help industry to project estimated slaughter numbers and the packers' need for cattle.
AFBF passed policy objectives during the virtual annual convention earlier this year, detailing how cattle markets can be more transparent.
This was after an extensive review of the cattle markets by our cattle market working group in 2020. If AFBF is to support a mandatory minimum negotiated trade, it must be cognizant of regional differences, and this bill does exactly that. Supporting Senator Deb Fischer and Ron Wyden's Cattle Market Transparency Act is a huge step forward for AFBF.
Bennett says the Cattle Market Working Group's grassroots efforts paid off, leading to support of this bill.
Because of their leadership, we're able to proudly support this bill, which certainly moves our industry forward. That, to me, is what Farm Bureau is all about. So I would encourage all Farm Bureau members to reach out to your local congressmen and senators and ask them to support the Cattle Market Transparency Act of 2020.
Michael Clements, Washington.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. And also earlier in the week, we spoke to First District Association President and CEO Bob Huffman, also dairy farmer and chairman of the board at First District, Josh Barca as well, in regards to the recent news that AMPI and First District, as they are forming a common marketing agency known as the American Dairy Cooperative. And Huffman says this is going to be advantageous for both co-ops.
What I see as opportunities through this is you think about, you know, customer focus. You know, we sell a lot of our members' products that we manufacture, you know, from in a global marketplace, right? So, and domestic, but more importantly, global, as we look at proteins and products coming in the future. Being able to work with a customer and have a broader portfolio of products to serve that customer and that focus really makes a difference. So I'd say product diversification is a definitely an opportunity that will be looked at. And then I would say probably a more obvious one is, you know, manufacturing footprint. You know, we're excited about our expansion here in Litchfield. You know, this site has really been successful at returning value back to our members, and we intend to keep that success and make that long-term sustainable.
First District CEO and President Bob Huffman joining us earlier in the week. Chairman of the board at First District, Josh Barca, says producer members won't notice any differences within their own co-op.
I don't think anything really drastic on the producer end. You know, maybe even as we work on sustainability and that kind of thing, we'll probably team up and just coordinate communications that if something's working for AMPI, it'll work for us type deal. But all in all, we're still going to keep our grassroots and our independence. So on the producer end, there isn't a lot that they'll see initially right away. There would be more down the road if some more new product or new way to do something would come about, that this would come more into effect then.
Josh Barca, dairy farmer and chairman of the board with First District Association in Litchfield, joining us here on Chasm Radio. And that's going to wrap up a busy week this week. It's your Central Minnesota Farm Report, brought to you by Mid-Soda Manufacturing in Avon right here on Chasm Radio.